In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, both now and unto the ages of all ages. Amen. Our meditation this morning is entitled Extraordinary Christian Living. And just to begin, I have a little souvenir here that I brought back from my holiday. And when I saw it, I was amazed at the wonderful and extraordinary creation of God. So I'm just going to show you part of it here. And can you guess what I have inside this little clear box here? Just from the looks of half of it, can you see what it looks like? Can you see it? What does it look like? It is a? Work with me a little bit here. I know it's a butterfly, but what does it look like? Can you guess what it looks like? It does look like an owl, doesn't it? From afar, like if you don't know. You see the beautiful colors and the eyes. How specific and how accurate is this creation? Of course, it is a beautiful butterfly. But if you look at it from afar, from the eyes of a predator, or someone who's hungry, like a bird, and looks at it from afar, he thinks it's a big bird or something that is vicious, that instead of going to indulge itself in it, it itself will fall in its mouth. So it's a beautiful decoy to seem larger than reality. And God gave this little creature the ability to trick other predators in order to not to fall into their hands and become a meal to them. And these things cannot happen by coincidence or through a mere evolution and things came together randomly to look like this. But this is the amazing hand of God, the extraordinary hand of God in His creation. And so many other creatures and butterflies and colors. It is an extraordinary creation by God. God, when He does things, He doesn't like the ordinary. He doesn't like the simple. He loves to do everything extraordinary. And He has created us in the same manner, extraordinary creation and creatures, to mimic Him. We are created on His own image and likeness. And this is how He wants us to live our life, an extraordinary Christian life. Each and every Christian person is called for greatness and an extraordinary life. God created Adam in the garden with extraordinary abilities and intelligence. He asked him to name all the creation, the creatures, the animals, the birds, the trees, and everything else. More than 1.25 million creatures that are walking and are alive on the earth today. God gave him the ability not only to name them, but the extraordinary ability to remember each and every one of them. Some people said, but sin separated us from God. It brought us down to the earth. But God, in His grace and through His salvation, He brought us back up again and gave us this extraordinary ability to live a life that is anything but far from the ordinary. Our Lord Jesus, in His message in John chapter 10, verse 10, He simply said, "I have come that they may have life." An ordinary life? No, an extraordinary life. "And that they may have it more abundantly." My beloved, it is much easier to settle in for being normal or average or ordinary like everyone else. But according to God's standards, we want to be great and extraordinary, not according to the worldly standards. We're not here to say that finances or success or physical appearance or position are what makes us extraordinary. This is what some people call the health and wealth gospel. We are not preaching that, but we are preaching a faithful and an extraordinary living, and living up to our potential that God has granted us within our own limits and abilities. Remember that the people judge us according to the outside appearance, And this has happened and occurred ever since eternity. When Samuel went into the house of Jesse to choose or to anoint the next king of Israel, he looked at all the big and strong brothers, but God had rejected all of them. Until they remained one. One of them was weaker, but God looked at his heart. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." The standards that we have to become extraordinary, maybe so successful, maybe the world is looking today, every time you open the news or the radio or TV or internet or everything, you see Michael Jackson up there on top of the news. According to world standards, he was successful and famous. But again, we're not judging in any way, but God wants to look at the heart. Where is our heart in terms of our own success and achievements? The Lord wants us today and is calling us to live an extraordinary Christian life. We need to inspire, to be inspired, and to inspire one another. Not to settle for the least, but to achieve the most, our potential that God has granted us in any way. And this is our responsibility as a community and as a church, to come here and to stir one another for good works. Isn't this what St. Paul said in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25? And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Exhorting one another, stirring up one another, encouraging one another, challenging one another, in order to live not just an ordinary life, but an extraordinary life. Each and every one of us has a responsibility in front of God and in front of each other to keep challenging ourselves to achieve the most that we could through His grace, but never forsaking His love, never forsaking our modesty, never forsaking the one who has given us this amazing and great success in every area of our lives, but always remembering to thank Him, the magnificent one, the beneficent one, the merciful one, the loving one, God Almighty, who has granted us so many blessings. God, in His great creation, has made each and every one of us almost like a poem, skillfully and meticulously knit in our mother's wombs, and He has given us an identity to be in His own image and likeness. The beautiful verse in Ephesians 2:10 tells us God calls you, or calls each one of us, His workmanship. His workmanship, which literally means a poem. And this is a great gift that He has given to each one of us and expects also so much out of every one of us. But we cannot do it on our own. But God, in His love and might, will give us this success. In order to achieve an extraordinary Christian life, we must set certain goals. But not only the goals that we need to set, we need to have some kind of vision or a plan on how we want to achieve this kind of greatness. This vision begins when we go through thinking about what we really want in life. Where do we want to be in a year, in 5 years, in 10 years? How do we want our family to look, our careers to be? Our relationship with God, how is it going to change through this challenge that we are posing to ourselves today? We have to long to see the extraordinary, experience the extraordinary, and do the extraordinary. And I'm praying today that we would not just settle for mediocrity when greatness is actually within our grasp. What are the areas that we must seek an extraordinary life in? Basically, I have set an extraordinary individual spiritual lives. Secondly, an extraordinary career. Thirdly, an extraordinary families or households, and finally, extraordinary church communities. These are the four areas that we are going through God's grace to speak about and to challenge ourselves today that we need to attain greatness in them with God's help. First, we would like to seek an extraordinary individual relationship with God or spiritual lives. And this needs a complete transformation. In today's Pauline epistle, we read about Onesimus. And who was Onesimus? He was someone who converted at the hands of St. Paul in prison. And why was he in prison? Because he stole from Philemon, his master. And after his release, he became a disciple of St. Paul and became a missionary. He truly transformed and changed in his heart. He wanted to become from a thief and a robber and a sinful person an extraordinary transformation to become someone who ministers the word of God. Isn't that amazing? This is what we mean by extraordinary transformation. Onesimus from a thief and a robber and a sinful person into a saint, an apostle, or a preacher of Jesus Christ. Secondly, extraordinary personal growth in our love and in our virtues. Today's gospel is one of the most amazing teachings that anyone could ever hear. An extraordinary message by our Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, I heard a talk, it was one of these forwards, from a Muslim cleric, the head of the Al-Azhar Islamic school in Cairo, who is speaking about the Sermon on the Mount, taken from Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, and also Luke chapter 6, which you also read in yesterday's Vespers. An amazing teaching, words by our Lord Jesus, extraordinary teaching for transformation. The Lord said to us, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. Therefore, be merciful just as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Extraordinary teaching. This is what the Lord Jesus expects out of you and me. An extraordinary transformation, growth in virtues, and in loving and caring for Him. Extraordinary service. And this is what we heard in today's message of the Acts, from Acts chapter 18. And we see how the Lord planned that Aquila and Priscilla, who were at Rome when they were persecuted, they moved to the exact same place where St. Paul is going. And they end up meeting together, and they end up being both tent makers, and the Lord shows them how to serve Him in the best manner. That's amazing ministry. These are all points that we can consider, to can think about. Not each and every one of them will apply to every person here, but maybe we can take one of them and say, and walk out today and pray to the Lord, say, Lord, I want this amazing, extraordinary transformation today in my ministry, in my virtues, in my love for you, in my passion for your church. Consistent church attendance, partaking of the Holy Communion. Maybe we're just average or lukewarm. The Lord is asking us today to become extraordinary in my commitment. If I miss church one day, what am I missing? Maybe there is a lesson that I could have heard that could have changed my life or direction or given me a new perspective in life and I missed it. I want to be more consistent in my repentance, in my confession, in my separation from my old habits, and a true return to God. A true change, an extraordinary change in witnessing to my faith with every opportunity that I have. So many times I think to myself, what is the purpose that we wake up on a Sunday morning, that we get dressed on a day that most of us are very tired after a long work week, and come together? If it's not for extraordinary change that should occur to each and every individual, then we might be wasting our time. But if I'm truly here in mind, in soul, in spirit, I want to partake of the holy sacraments. This is the true change that's going to happen to my life. If there's a true change that's going to happen to my household, I ask myself many times, are we as a community better? Is each and every household better since we started a ministry or this ministry? Has it made any kind of difference in our life? Or are we still the exact same people? And that's why today we are challenging one another to become extraordinary in our passion, in our love for God, in the transformation that will occur inside of our homes and also inside of each and every individual's life. Secondly, we want to challenge ourselves to have an extraordinary careers. First, we need to begin by thanking God on where we are today. Because if it wasn't for His grace, we wouldn't have been where we are today. I'm sure that all of us are living a comfortable life. But maybe God is asking us to challenge ourselves a little bit more. Maybe students could continue their education and go and proceed to some kind of higher education, or even people who are working or are adults, maybe they can do something a little bit more to pursue more opportunities in their careers. A few years ago, I was in ministry, and you know, if you study more as a priest, it is for a personal gain and benefits. You're not going to get any promotion or any kind of higher ordination or anything. You're a priest, that's it. There is nothing more. But I felt that there is a need in the ministry to pursue some other education. I'm going to say a public confession today in front of everyone that I was the worst student in my university years ever. I was always on academic probation, and I did very badly. Thank God I passed. They call it in Arabic al-harukruk, right? Just like barely passing. And it wasn't my calling to study, you know, math and statistics and economics and all of these things. I liked it for a bit, but thank God that it was over. But at a certain time after my ordination, there was a need to challenge myself a little bit. And even though I wasn't that good in academics, but there was a passion for theology and this particular area. And that's why I pursued some kind of a master's degree in theology, and then thank God that I'm now almost finished with my PhD, God willing, if you pray for me, in the area of theology. And this was a passion that arose. But we need to challenge ourselves a little bit. We need to have extraordinary passion to pursue things that are higher than ourselves and not just settle down for the average. Seeking opportunities to grow even within your own business. If you are a business person, establishing connections with others. If you are a home mom, be an extraordinary home mom. If you are a clerk, if you are a physician or a pharmacist or an engineer or a consecrated service or a business person or a student or a son or a daughter or a parent or a colleague or a friend or a prayer partner or a boss, etc., be an extraordinary person in whatever you are being called to do right there in your own work, place, and wherever God has called you to be an extraordinary person. Leave a mark behind. Show the image of God. Do not just settle for the normal or the ordinary, but seek what is extraordinary. Extraordinary individual, spiritually speaking, in terms of our own careers. The Lord was with Joseph and he was a successful man. These things should not contradict with one another. Having a successful career outside in the world is a great witness to the work of God, as well as having a strong spiritual life, both of them combined together for a balanced person. Thirdly, extraordinary families and households. The church that is in our house, as St. Paul said in today's Pauline epistle, greet the church that is in their own house. We need to challenge ourselves to do a little bit more with our families or those whom we are living with, united in person, in purpose, all in the Lord Jesus Christ, leading by example. We shouldn't tell our children, go to church or go to pray. How about let's go to church. Let's pray together. Let's go and serve together. And this is a beautiful thing that we're starting to see, is that families with young children or older youth go together and unite in purpose. This is we have a community that is transformed according to the image of God. Finally, we should have an extraordinary church community. So many times we enter into churches, and by the way, churches are not, a church is not a building, as you know. A church is the people. A church is the souls, the human beings. This is what makes a church. And in the book of Acts, whenever the word church is mentioned, they didn't have any buildings until the 4th century. But the church could speak. The church could hear. The church could send people. The church was persecuted. Who was this church? It is the people. The people united together around the Holy Eucharist, around the body and blood of Christ, and showing forth the world their amazing love, loving their enemies, like the Lord Jesus said today, treating those who treat us badly in a respectful and a loving way. This is how we transform the world that is around us. An extraordinary church community is what we are seeking. That if any person comes from outside, as soon as they enter into this community, they feel the energy. They feel the Spirit of God present. They feel the true love that is amongst the people. Not just words from a podium, but when we are in reality meeting one another, we care for one another. We're not going to speak behind each other's backs or judge one another or look at each other in a demeaning way, but all of us united as members in the one body of Christ, there is welcome, there is acceptance, especially to new members and newcomers. There is heartfelt passion and love. There is a call that is going to occur in the middle of the week to ask for those who are missing and could not make it. And care, true care for one another. Looking at the chair, the empty chair that is beside me in the church and saying, who should have been sitting in this chair today and couldn't make it? Maybe a friend or a family member or someone whom I have known for a while, asking about one another and caring for one another. This is how we build true community. This is how we have not just an ordinary church where people walk in and they leave immediately. This is how we have an extraordinary church community that cares about one another. The word one another and each other is mentioned more than 65 times in the New Testament. And this shows the importance of a church community that cares and loves for one another. A true church, an extraordinary church community that brings Christ into its homes and meetings and assemblies and gatherings and vacations and outings. Christ is truly present in this place, not only present where we meet for a couple of hours on Sunday morning, and then the rest of the week, Christ is just on the shelf waiting for the following week. Christ is a true friend who is interactive with us all week long in everything that we do. Faithful at work, faithful at home, faithful in the church community, faithful when no one else is looking. This is the extraordinary church community. My beloved sisters and brothers, we've mentioned so many things today. This is a great wish list. But each and every one of us must look and seek the virtue of wisdom and discernment to discover what is right for me. What am I going to challenge myself with today as I walk out of church? Something needs to change. At least one thing needs to be extraordinary in my life. Either my own personal relationship with Christ, or challenge myself in my career, or in my family, within my family, or within the church community, or whatever you may choose to be extraordinary in. Just make sure, as the Holy Scriptures tells us today, that we have to stir one another for good works and for love. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. It is our responsibility as a church community to encourage one another to become a better person, so that when we look hopefully at the end of the year and say, how has the church affected my own personal life? I can say, yes, I was this and now I'm that through the grace of God. It's not any individual's work, but only the grace of God. Finally, I want to share with you the beautiful words of His Holiness Pope Shenouda, which he wrote in his famous book, The Release of the Spirit, on how each and every individual is created extraordinary by the mighty hands of God. His Holiness Pope Shenouda said, I want nothing of the world, for I am superior to it. I am a son of God, or a daughter of God, in the image of God and after His likeness. I am a temple for the Holy Spirit and a place of dwelling for God. I am the only creature who partakes of His holy flesh and blood. I am superior to the world, for I have the keys of the heavens and earth. I, whom God in His loving kindness and modesty willed to make me the light of the world and the salt of the earth. I want nothing of the world, for I am not of the world. I am not dust as they think. I am a divine breath. I was with God from eternity, and God placed me on the earth. But I shall leave it after a while and return to God. May God help us today to become extraordinary believers and Christians living in the world and with one another. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.